the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear saints of God, it's time to get ready and wait. In our gospel lesson for today, there are two groups of virgins, and they are both waiting. Some of them are ready, and others of them are not. The parable takes a little explanation. Weddings at the time of Jesus did not have this long engagement than a big wedding like we have today. Instead, the Jewish groom would be betrothed to a young bride, and they would be legally married, but time would elapse while the groom would make ready his new home for his bride, and then he would come back to get her. They would consummate the marriage. And then after that, there would be this great procession accompanied by family and friends to the great wedding feast. So these 10 virgins, or we might say young girls, are likely friends of the bride, and they are awaiting this great celebratory procession that will inaugurate this days-long wedding feast, in which they would celebrate and party for days on end. They brought with them these lamps, or perhaps something like a torch. This was part of the celebration, that these lamps lit the way of the procession to the place where the wedding feast is, and then would be placed in the wedding feast to light the feast itself. So if you are part of the family or one of the friends, you would have this lamp. I suppose it's something like in our weddings today, being part of the wedding party, those who stand up there with the groom and the bride. And if you are one of the bridesmaids, for example, it would be expected of you that you would have the bridesmaid's dress, a certain dress picked out for you to wear that day. And you would not show up to the wedding without the proper dress. Because if you show up to the wedding and you're not wearing the white dress, it would look as if you don't actually belong there, or the wedding really isn't that important to you. So Jesus says that these two kinds of young girls are getting ready for the procession. The parable is oftentimes called the parable of the wise and foolish maidens. Or as one pastor put it, the parable of the sensible and silly girls. The Greek word for wise is clear enough, sensible. But the Greek word for foolish is moros. It's where we get the word moron. And that's fitting. Because these five young ladies take their lamps. But what they don't take with them is the flask of oil. Now, those who are hearing Jesus tell this parable would be struck by that. They would think, why didn't they take oil? Like, why didn't she bring the right dress? It's the wise ladies who are preparing for this rare event. But the foolish take no oil. Now, it's not like they were caught off guard. You needed oil. To have a lamp and no oil is like going trick-or-treating without a candy bag. Or like going fishing without a fishing pole. Or like painting your house without a paintbrush. If you're going to do these things, you need to have what you need. You have to have the oil. Well, these foolish young ladies do not have the oil. But that's maybe not the part that is so shocking about this parable. I think it's the next part that is so shocking. That these wise and foolish maidens are both here waiting for this procession, and they both fall asleep. Now, I understand how the wise ladies would maybe fall asleep, because they are ready to go. They have their lamps, they have their oil, and now they're just waiting. So as time goes on, they get drowsy and they fall asleep. But the foolish ladies, how could they be so secure that they would fall asleep? They don't even have oil for their lamps. what's going to happen when the groom shows up? What they should do is that since they're just sitting around waiting here anyway, they have time to go buy some oil and be back before the groom comes. But they don't. That's why they're moros. Instead, they have a kind of security, a false sense of security. And they fall asleep just as the other ladies do. Now, it's not too difficult to already see what Jesus is driving at here. The Lord has promised that he will return. And as we confess, he's returning to judge the living and the dead. Because of Adam's sin, we are all born into sin, and we are born enemies of God. We are born into sin and rebellious against God, born dead in our trespasses and sins. And the only thing that is keeping Christ from returning right now is his own love for lost humanity. He is waiting to return that more people might repent. And the longer he waits, the more time people have to repent of their sins. How many people think they have plenty of time to repent? That they might actually know of their sins, but they think, oh, I have plenty of time to repent. It was actually somewhat of a common practice in the 4th and 5th centuries for people to be baptized on their deathbed. Not as a surprise, but that they would plan it that way. That they figured, well, if I get baptized and then I sin after that, I ruin the whole thing. So I'll live my entire life, and at the last moment before I die, then I will get baptized. Now, this sounds ridiculous to us today, but I think a lot of people do the same thing with repentance. They think if they repent today, then their lives will be robbed of all the fun they could have otherwise. The warning from Jesus is clear, that you don't know when Christ might return or when your life might be cut short. And that's a gamble that no one should take. Now is the time. He could return today. The last words of Jesus in this gospel text are, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." If the Lord returns, you'll be caught off guard and you won't be ready. Now, all this is certainly a valid and true concern. It's what Jesus is warning us against in this very gospel text. But I might point out that the parable is slightly different than that. You see, it's not that the foolish maidens were thinking, we don't have enough oil for our lamps, but we must get some before the groom arrives. It's as if they weren't even planning to get oil in the first place. So it's not like they thought he's coming at 1, we'll go get it at 12:30, and then he comes earlier than they thought. It's the other way around, actually. They expected the groom to come sooner, but he's delayed. And all the while, they aren't alarmed by the fact that they do not have oil for their lamps. The foolish maidens think they are ready when they are actually not. And this is a warning for us, dear saints. How do we know if we're the foolish maidens or the wise maidens? The foolish maidens didn't realize how foolish they were until they woke up and realized that the bridegroom is near and they don't have oil for the wedding feast. And after the door is shut, they knock and the bridegroom says, "I do not know you." So the question before us is, how can we be for certain that we will be among those who can truly rest securely? That is to say, as we wait for the Lord to return, are we ready, or do we falsely think that we are ready? And just answer that question for yourself. How can you be sure that upon the Lord's return, the door won't be shut to you and the Lord would say something to you, "I do not know. I do not know you." How do you know? Well, if you answered anything that had to do with your work, your effort, anything that you have done, then don't fall asleep. You're not ready. The reality is that we cannot prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. It can't be because of your works or your doings that you are ready for the Lord's return. You can't say, I'm ready because I've held my church membership for 30 years. Or I'm ready because I've given 20% of my income to charities. Or I'm ready because I've really turned my life around. I'm not the miserable guy I used to be. Well, those are all good things. I'm glad you're not the miserable guy you used to be. But church membership and money you donate, they don't make you ready for the Lord's return. So what does? Well, you do not ready yourself. Instead, the Lord makes you ready. Romans 5 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." It's not our life that saves us, it's his. It's not about what you do, it's about what he did. That Jesus knows your every thought. He knows your every sinful desire. He knows everything that you've done. He knows everything that you didn't do and should have done. He knows all of that, and that it would separate you from God. And Jesus said, I will not let those sins damn you. Let those sins damn me. Jesus says, I will take the punishment. I will take the wrath. I'll take the pain and the suffering. I'll do whatever it takes so that you are not forsaken. And by the grace of God, you believe that this is true. If you believe that this is true, it means you've been given the gift of faith. You've been given his word, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. You have received the gift of faith in holy baptism, where he has washed you clean of all your sins. And not just the sins of the past, all the sins that are yet to come, they are washed in the waters of baptism by his word. God grants you faith here in his word and through the water attached to it, that you've been given faith as a gift. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not a work, it is a gift of God that no one can boast. These wise maidens are the ones who are waiting. They're waiting because they know they're ready. They can rest a while until the groom arrives because they are fully prepared. And being prepared has nothing to do with what you have done, trusting in your own false securities, but that you have been prepared because Christ has died for you, and that you believe in the forgiveness of all of your sins. That you are prepared. If the Lord has baptized you and you believe what he says, baptism now saves you. That you are prepared if you're a sinner, because it's for sinners that Christ has died, and it's sinners that Christ has forgiven. And so you are well prepared and ready to wait. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for the offertory on page 192.